Now, have you ever wondered what happens behind the scenes in film post-production? All is not what it seems. Real sounds are replaced with clean recordings to make a more exciting cinematic experience. Sound design is what makes a motion picture blossom. Special guests from the University of Adelaide, Luke Harold, and lecturer in sound design for film, explain to my co-presenter Lance what a sound designer and that other fascinating behind-the-scenes job, the Foley artist, actually do.
Foley art goes back to Jack Foley in the vaudeville days. And really, if you think about the role of a Foley artist in film, basically what they do is, if you think about a shot on camera, they'll replace every sound that's in that shot. So when you're recording production audio, basically you're just trying to capture dialogue and nothing else. And so pretty much all the rest of the sound on the set is unusable. And so, yeah, the Foley artist then comes in and basically recreates every sound that you hear on the screen other than the dialogue.
How is the role of the Foley artist different to the sound designer?
The sound designer basically takes responsibility for all the sound of the films, mixing everything from sort of production dialogue to Foley effects, music and so on. Whereas the Foley artist, it's a really, you know, as its name suggests, it's really a performative kind of role in the studio. So a Foley artist will, you know, come up with the different objects they need to recreate the sounds on the soundtrack that they want and then actually perform those sounds to a cut of the film, and then another sound engineer will then record those sounds as they go along. So it's a real performative kind of role in the film.
How have online sound libraries impacted these roles?
Online sound libraries are interesting in that often a lot of composers and, you know, say sound designers as well, will use them as an opportunity for income themselves. So there's a lot of composers, for example, now that are contributing to libraries, and then they sell their music in that way rather than getting commissioned directly to create a film. So that way their music can actually go out onto larger numbers of films. So in some respects, if you take a platform like YouTube, for example, there's a lot of composers making quite a bit of money by posting their tracks to YouTube and then letting people just use them as long as they're credited.
What are the advantages of online sound libraries for post-production?
If a film has a small budget and they can't really afford to pay a large sound crew, then they can just employ a sound editor then, and they can use the libraries to creating the soundtrack of the film without having to actually employ a large crew.
How has artificial intelligence impacted the sound designer and Foley roles?
I'm not sure that AI has impacted those roles directly too much at this stage. That's not to say that it won't in the future. Perhaps it will. But certainly in composition, there's many AI companies at the moment trying to create artificial composers. So Google's got a project, IBM, a few others. And I think in the future, especially for lower budget films, they'll have an impact where you use, as a director, you could audition different soundtracks that are generated by AI and then you could pick the one you like, basically. But still, I think for higher end films, they'll still hire a composer for something a bit more unique. But, you know, in that sense, even at the low end, although there's AI projects running, it's still some way off, I think, before we see a widespread adoption of AI in film music.
As a sound designer, how do you feel about online sound libraries?
Oh, I use them as a sound designer at times. So sometimes online film libraries can be, or sound libraries, I should say, can be very useful because, I don't know, let's say I need a generic kind of ocean sound, for example. It might be inconvenient for me to go down to the beach and record that. It might be much quicker for me to, say, buy a royalty-free sound and then use it. And if that achieves what I need it to, then that might be the most efficient way of doing things. So, yeah, I'm certainly not against sound libraries. They have their place just as artists and original work have their place as well.
Do you consider there opportunities for sound designers in Australia?
Yep, so we have a couple of fairly famous sound designers. One I went through university with called Tom Hoitzenrode, whose studio's in North Adelaide, and there's quite a few people around. There's also a Foley artist, for example, who does a lot of Marvel films and stuff, who lives at Corn in South Australia. So, you know, I think thanks to high-speed internet, you know, you're not really restricted anymore by where you live. And so Adelaide's actually quite an attractive place to be because we do have good access to high-speed internet. And so, yeah, quite a few people are doing interesting things with Hollywood and other places where they make films just remotely.
How has streaming services such as Netflix changed the landscape of film production?
I think if we take a step back a little bit, film production began to change a bit when the writer's strike happened in the US. And so a lot of the really good writers moved away from writing films and actually onto the small screen. And so what you saw was a boom in sort of high quality drama written for television. That then spun off into places like Netflix, where you have some pretty good quality series being made. But I think the exciting things about streaming services, and Netflix obviously was an early one, but now you've got like Amazon going into it in a big way, you've got Disney bringing out their own streaming service, is that Amazon, for example, I think it was just announced, is going to invest $8 billion in new content. So really those streaming services offer massive opportunities. Like that $8 billion, I'm pretty sure, is bigger than all of Hollywood combined last year, someone was saying. So yeah, I think with the streaming services, there's massive opportunity for a lot of different types of content to be made. And also because they tend to be global rather than tied to various TV services, then there's potential niche audiences and so on that can be accessed by artists that perhaps couldn't be before. So overall, I think, yeah, it's a really exciting development for filmmaking.
What advice would you give to a young sound designer or Foley artist who is considering a career in the film industry?
Just put yourself out there as much as you can. So go to film festivals, meet directors. Don't be afraid to take on student work. So if you know someone who's studying filmmaking in a media course, or if they're sort of young directors that are just getting started in film festivals and so on, meet them and get involved. And that's really the way to get your start as well. And hopefully as those directors grow and get established, you also grow and get established, and then you've then got your career. So sometimes you get lucky stories. I was talking to a studio musician, for example, from Kangaroo Island. He lucked out when he was 18 and did a tour with David Bowie, just got hand selected at an audition. So you do hear stories like that too, where someone goes to a big studio, for example, and suddenly gets handpicked and works on Empire Strikes Back or something in the 70s. Those sorts of things do happen too, so it's not something that you should rule out. But a more organic way of your career getting started is to start with smaller projects and then work your way up.
What do you think are the most enjoyable aspects of these two roles?
I think with most of the film and installation work that I do, the thing I like best is collaborating with other people. So all of these things take big teams of people to put them together. They're not really the vision of just one person and sort of DIY. And so, yeah, getting the opportunity to collaborate with a lot of different, very talented people is what I find exciting about doing that.
For a film, what do you consider the attributes of great sound design?
Probably for me, I really like sound that sort of really hits you in the chest, so it's got a lot of bottom end to it, but also that, I want the sound to draw me in to the film, and where you get that suspension of disbelief and I'm really kind of engaged with it. And then it's not this, a lot of directors have this idea that, you shouldn't remember the film soundtrack. I actually like soundtracks I can remember. Maybe that's because I'm a sound person, but that's what I'm really looking for in a soundtrack.
An insightful interview with Lance speaking to Luke Harold about film sound design. You can experience Luke's sound installation, Way of the Warrior, at the Adelaide Oval. Hey Lance, tell me a bit about his sound installation and how people can get to hear it.
Well, if you do one of those Adelaide Oval tours, you'll be able to immerse yourself in the sound of a footy match from the player's perspective. The installation uses hidden speakers projecting the ambience to emulate the roar of the crowd as the players run through the player's tunnel into the stadium.
Wow, so technical yet so impressive.